Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
All right, 1-866-823-1077. That's our phone number where you can be part of the discussion with attorney Penny Dean. Second Amendment Tuesdays on Bulldog Live on The Pulse.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
Bulldog Live with me, your host, Bulldog Brian Tilton, Second Amendment attorney, Penny Dean. How are you today?
I am well, and yourself?
Oh, boy, we have so many things that we can get to today. It's not even funny. I just read a piece from the Weir's Times on Thursday. It was a front page guest commentary about Ward Byrd and why he needs to be freed. And then we have all kinds of really interesting stuff happening around New Hampshire as well. And then, of course, the time change for my show beginning tomorrow. So.
Oh, yay. Well, they'll be hearing us all at a different time.
They will. We'll continue with Second Amendment Tuesdays next week, all at a new time at 10:25 a.m.
In the morning.
Yes.
In the morning, just so people know.
That's right. Yes, we want to tell them because we don't want this, anybody thinking we've gone away somewhere else.
That's exactly right.
So cool. Anyway, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
I did. How about you?
Not bad. Not bad at all. Had the whole family together.
You know, hey, then life is good. Everybody
uh-huh.
was happy. Did the dogs get treats? Were there dogs?
I don't have any dogs.
Oh. Well, you know, if
I
anybody
can't
has
properly great... take care of one because, well, I'm working all day, so.
Oh, yeah.
Not good for me to have a dog.
Well, the whole thing is Great Danes. Great Danes are the very best dogs.
That's right. Yeah, why? Can they stay home for 8-9 hours at a time?
No, they like to go with you.
Oh, okay.
They could come to work with you. They would make the best guard dogs. They're the happiest kid dogs. They're just really cool.
I just had one of our clients come in today, do some recording, and he brought his Doberman with him. So
good for him.
Yeah, it was a good dog, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, very friendly.
They are, you know, dogs really mirror the behavior of their owners. You know, if people socialize them correctly, in general, there's since every rule, you know, usually dogs are good dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'll tell you what, has anyone been following the really sad, what I call, bit of events in Wisconsin with the school shooting?
I haven't talked about it yet, but we can let you do it, and then we'll get to one of our callers. Or do you want to get to the caller
we'll
first?
We'll get to the caller first if there's a caller waiting.
Let's do that. Mike from Allenstown, you're on Bulldog Live with Second Amendment Tuesdays and Attorney Penny Dean.
Yes, thank you. I've been listening to this for a couple of days, and I was thinking there's two things we can do right away to help this individual.
You're talking about Ward Byrd, right?
Ward Byrd, yes, who's been prosecuted wrong. And one, we can petition the governor for a pardon, if that's possible. And two, put in a petition to the Senate and the House to change the law so that we do have Second Amendment rights. And not this watered-down version that's putting this individual in jail who shouldn't be there.
You know what? You're absolutely correct. I can tell you this, that HB 160 passed last term, if I recall correctly. There's too many alphabet soups of bills. And gun owners in New Hampshire offered a really common-sense, usable amendment to the bill. I believe Senator Letourneau offered it, if I remember correctly. But again, too many bills, too many numbers. And basically, it was rejected, and what was officially called a committee amendment passed, and that amendment that passed is worth about as much as things on a boar hog, okay? It really doesn't give us the... I'm always careful on the radio.
Yes, I appreciate that.
I don't say the bad words. I try not to.
But things have changed since then.
What's that?
Our makeup and our... legislature has changed since
Yes,
then.
Beginning tomorrow.
Absolutely, beginning tomorrow. And I'm hoping that they will not. Here's the thing that I've said for years. There's a million ward birds out there. You just haven't heard about them because a lot of people are embarrassed. Like, I have very few of my clients who are willing to go public with things like this happening to them. Most of them prefer to what I call lick their wounds, or they're embarrassed about the whole situation because these are good people who've never been charged with a thing in their lives, okay? Mm-hmm. And so they don't come forward. Ward Bird and his family are incredibly brave to come forward and make an issue of what happened to him, which was truly wrong.
Yes.
And I can tell you RSA 652-22G, which is the particular statute that caused him to do this minimum mandatory 3-6. When it happened, people like me said, look, this law is going to be used against gun owners. And people said, oh, no, this is just for the criminals. It's for felons that hurt people, and we got to penalize them. And the answer is, no, it's going to be used against gun owners. And it's just like last term when they initially introduced unnecessary penalties in the knife bill. And Gowan H. said, look, if these penalties are unnecessary, they'll be used against gun owners and against, you know, knife owners in self-defense cases. Remove them, and they did. But I think what needs to happen is that bill needs, or that law needs to be repealed, because there's tons of laws on the book that you can punish criminals with.
Absolutely. Let's punish the criminals, not the innocent homeowners that are defending their own property and life.
Absolutely. And the other problem we have, and a lot of people don't understand what's, a lot of lawyers, I mean, we spend our life trying to understand the, what's called the rules of evidence. And what happened is the rules of evidence are what I call a two-edged sword. And in self-defense cases, I think the judge, you know, with all due respect to the court, made the wrong call in not allowing the, and the Supreme Court, by the way, agreed with him. So no one's going to listen to what I say. But made the wrong call in not letting the jury hear about this woman's animal cruelty in the past, because what happened is this alleged victim claimed that she was, you know, just looking for a farm to buy to save animals and take care of animals, and it sounded oh so nice, right? The woman has convictions for animal cruelty. And so, and as a matter of fact, I think she has some more pending charges for animal cruelty. And I think that really undermines her propensity for telling the truth here.
Absolutely.
But you're not allowed to bring that up as evidence in a trial.
Well, you here's what happens is that they weren't in this case. The trial judge decides, does what's called a balancing test under the rules of evidence. And I can tell you this, that you get 10 different judges, and in many cases they'll come up with 10 different answers on whether or not something comes in and out under the rules of evidence in a particular case. And I really think that there really needs to be statutory protection in self-defense cases. Because I had a self-defense case where my client was faced with five men, two convicted felon drug dealers. My client's on his own porch. Mm-hmm. And the jury didn't hear that the men who were approaching him were convicted felon drug dealers because the judge wouldn't allow it in. Do you believe this? Now, fortunately for me, I got very, very lucky.
Blind, right?
The jury found my client not guilty.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, in it. But what I'm trying to say is the rules of evidence have a lot of really good points in that if a person's charged with a crime, you really want them to be judged on that crime alone and not their past bad acts. So in some ways, the rules of evidence are very good. But it depends on how they're applied.
We've got to protect the innocent. We've got to keep criminals.
And to your point, that should be
before the court, before they're making decisions on whose word to take in what case.
Right, and Mike, to your point, you are correct. We got to call our legislators and tell them to change this law, and I think it'll be, there's never any guarantees no matter who's in power, so that's why it is still important to contact your legislators. Number two, calling the governor's office and getting on some petition is not a bad thing to do, although the ultimate petition will come from Ward Bird himself, but it does help when the governor is looking at several hundred other signatures in front of him and making up his mind whether to free Ward Bird or not. And then, you keep saying, too, about, you know, we got to make sure we protect the innocent by changing that law so that the courts do not have this to go on. And, you know, hopefully some common sense will prevail at the end of the day.
That's what we really need in this case.
We do. We have one client who wants to remain anonymous that I had years ago, and the judge put in her written sentencing order for this particular client who was sentenced to the minimum mandatory 3-6 in Concord. She said, if I had any discretion in this matter, this man wouldn't serve a nanosecond behind bars. But she said, my hands are tied by the statute, and I'm forced to, you know, sentence him to this particular prison
and
term.
And same with the judge in this case.
I think I heard that before, but isn't it true that a judge could set aside a jury's verdict?
Every state is different. After sentencing, for example, he could come for, there's a variety of procedural ways, and it would be way too long and boring for people to hear on the radio show, but you're absolutely correct, within certain parameters, absolutely. And the whole thing is, in this case, for whatever reason, the trial judge felt strongly enough to write a very strongly worded sentencing order, but he didn't feel strongly enough, for example, that same trial judge could have let in the information pertaining to the alleged victim's criminal history. Mm-hmm. He could have done a lot of those things, and he chose not to do so. Now, here's what I've learned in a lot of instances, because I've read some of the things the press has written, quite salacious and quite whatever, making this woman out to be the victim. But if you actually read some of the transcripts and read what happened, I think the press has distorted it to make it look like she was just this innocent girl who was lost and the mean ward bird wouldn't help her. And you know what I'm saying?
Or this one, Penny. As I picked up out of the Sunday Union Leader, the Sunday New Hampshire Sunday News, where they say, oh, well, you know, they basically left the impression that, you know, Ward Byrd knew that this woman was coming up his mile-long driveway unarmed, you know?
And it's so silly. Nobody knows if anybody's unarmed. You know, that's the bottom line is, and we've had so many random attacks, even, you know, in Concord and other areas, where people that look like nice people come to the door. And so for someone to presume, I never would presume that someone's unarmed. And I think that even at the Police Standards and Training Council, I think police will tell you that they are taught to presume that people can be armed. So if they're taught to presume that every citizen should be armed, why should we presume any differently?
Absolutely. It should be the same same criteria.
Absolutely.
For self-defense, it's self-defense.
Yep, and you simply don't know whether or not a person's armed, and so to make
well, the Carroll County attorney thinks that he knew it, saying, quote, if you have someone unarmed coming to his property and he knows it, that's what put it over the edge for us, you know, in her decision to go ahead and prosecute, to which I say, how did he know? How is he supposed to know? She came up past 8 no trespassing signs and over a course of a mile into his property. You know, to me, that would be perceived as a possible threat.
And she's never been prosecuted for trespassing, is that correct?
Correct. In this case, yes.
I don't know that that she has or she hasn't. I can't tell you that. And here's what you'll learn from a lot of cases from doing criminal work is sometimes criminal convictions and prosecutions don't get reported perfectly because what happens is that the court has to fax certain things to the police for inclusion in the database. There's a million steps along the way where things can break down.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely, because, like, for example, I've had clients had petitions to annul. Let's say it gets granted, right? They run their criminal record check. It still comes up. And what happened was somebody at the clerk's office faxes that to the New Hampshire State Police or to the records unit. And let's say two pieces of paper get stuck together in the fax. Happens all the time, right? That can, same thing can happen with convictions.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? There's just, and then you have someone who's entering it in a database. If they're database entry, people make an error. They're human. People write instead of Penny Dean, Penny Bean, right?
Yeah.
Or Penny Keen. You know, there's a variety of typos that a person can make.
And so people end up on no-fly lists.
That's exactly right. And so then when someone else enters Penny Dean in the database, they don't find me because my conviction was entered as Penny Bean. Or you know what I'm saying? A variety of things. So my understanding is they didn't know of any criminal convictions or convictions for trespassing. I don't know that you can presume they don't exist, though.
Gotcha. Well, with that, Mike, I need to move on.
All
good questions. Thank you very much for calling in.
Yes, thank you. I enjoy the program.
All right. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. 1-866-823-1077. We'll take a timeout here, Penny Dean. And, you know, I did say early in the show today that callers and listeners tend to drive these discussions as well. And I have a question that's been nagging at me for a couple of weeks now. And I still don't know if we're going to have time to get to it today. And that is the Interstate Commerce Clause. But let's talk about it, okay, if we can.
Okay.
All right. Bulldog Live continues here on The Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages, live on The Pulse.